Thank you, my brother. And Brother Wayne is passing you the lesson for tonight, which is in reference to a word that is very used theologically. The word leaven is used in theology over and over again in the scripture. And we're going to look in certain scripture and see the reason of forbidden word and permitted, and what the word leaven really is a figure, a picture of in the scripture. So let us first, we must look to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, without your word, we have nothing to say. And without your spirit, we are helpless. So give us your word today, and let the spirit show us your way. In Jesus we pray, amen. We are in the evening service trying to search what does the Bible really say in certain topics. And if you have topics that you want me to address, you let me know and I look on it. Otherwise, I take it from the treasure of my book that I have on the subject. And tonight, I like to take the word leaven, which is dough in a state of fermentation, all right? That's what leaven is dough in the state of fermentation. There are three thoughts that I can summarize that word in. One is the leaven is forbidden, and the second is leaven is permitted, and then what is a picture of then? Leaven is a picture of what? Figurative of what? Okay? Let's look on it. In Exodus chapter 12, we have then on the section of leaven is forbidden, in Exodus 12, verse 8 to 20, we have there the picture of why God said it cannot be used. And I read it for you. Exodus chapter 12 and verse 8. Then they shall eat the flesh. This is talking about the Passover. Eat the flesh on the night, roasted in fire with unleavened bread. You see that? Okay, the microphone went off. Okay, now it's coming. All right. With unleavened bread and with bitter herbs, they shall eat it. Do not eat raw, nor boil at all with water, but roasted in fire, its head with its leg and its entrails. You shall let one of it remain until morning, and what remains of it until morning you shall burn with fire. And thus you shall eat it with a belt on your waist, remember, ready to go, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. So you shall eat it in the haste. It is the Passover. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass, I love this section, through the land of Egypt, and on that night, and I will strike all the firstborns in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt, I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. Now, the blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be on you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. It's not something to remember that in heaven when the judgment comes, when God sees the blood, I'm not there. The judgment has been forbidden for me. So this day, verse 14, shall be to you a memorial, and you shall keep it as a feast of the Lord through your generation. You shall keep it as a feast by an everlasting ordinance. 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread. Again, that's on this festivity, unleavened bread. On the first day you shall remove leaven from your houses. See, for whosoever eat leaven bread from the first day until the seventh day, that person shall be cut off from Israel. On the first day there shall be a holy convocation, and on the seventh day there shall be a holy convocation for you. No manner of work shall be done on them, but that which everyone must eat, that only may be prepared by you. So you shall observe the feast of the unleavened bread, for on this same day I will have brought your armies out of the land of Egypt. Therefore you shall observe this day throughout your generation as an everlasting ordinance. In the first month of the 14th day of the month at evening, you shall eat unleavened bread until the 21st day of the month at evening. So again in verse 19, for 7 days no leaven shall be found in your houses, since whoever eat what is leaven, that same person shall be cut off from the congregation of Israel, whether he is a stranger or a native in the land. You shall eat nothing leaven, verse 20, in all your dwellings you shall eat, and you shall eat unleavened bread. Now, you see, on the history of the Passover was a testimony of the work of Christ. There was no sin involved in the salvation that Christ provided. And the Savior was totally without sin. So therefore, leaven, a picture of fermentation in this case, was a picture of the fermentation of sin. And sin cannot be allowed in the process of salvation. In other words, the one who is going to provide salvation cannot be a sinner. And so therefore God is symbolizing in this remarkable historical event that the salvation of God is going to be provided pure. And I don't think Israel ever understood this until Christ came into the picture, and then they deny it. So here leaven is forbidden because it's a fermentation that is artificial. It's part of there will be no pure salvation as required by the law. And so that's why the text said the blood should be spread on the lintels and on the jambs of the doors to see it. Remarkable picture that in Christianity you cannot mix sin with purity. It's either one or the other. Now in Leviticus chapter 2:11 of the book of Leviticus, we have here a picture again of leaven being presented. All right, and again is forbidden. Leviticus chapter 2 and verse 11. No grain offering which you bring to the Lord shall be made with leaven, for you shall burn no leaven, nor any honey, or in any offering to the Lord made by fire. The grain offering is a peace offering. As the peace, remember, as I taught Leviticus, is a picture of your peace with God. And in your peace with God, nothing artificial comes. It's real. It's Christ Jesus alone. There is nothing that we made. And so leaven, in that sense, is forbidden to use as a picture of salvation. Completely forbidden. All right? So now there are places where it's permitted. We're in Leviticus 4. Let's go to Leviticus chapter 7 and verse 13. And I'm going to start in verse 11 because it's the law of the peace offering. This is the law of the sacrifice of peace offering, which he shall offer to the Lord. If he offers, and he is the priest, and he offers it for the thanksgiving, then he shall offer with a sacrifice of thanksgiving and leaven cakes mixed with oil, and leaven wafers anointed with oil, and cakes of blended flour mixed with oil. So in the offering, excuse me, I'm here. 2:11. I was in the wrong. Okay, 7:13. Excuse me. I got a Bible that glares at me. All right, 7:13. Blessed the cakes as his offering. He shall offer leavened bread with a sacrifice of thanksgiving of his peace offering. And so there is involved the requirement of an individual where you acknowledge the peace of God. The work of peace for you is unleavened because it's done only by the purity of the high priest, which is Christ. But then for you to have peace, in verse 13, then you need to offer that with the leaven because you are a sinner. And then you are not in purity. So as a sinner, you acknowledge God and you often offer a peace offering to him. Blessed beside the cakes as his offering, he shall offer leavened bread with a sacrifice of thanksgiving. In other words, you, a sinner, offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving because of him. Then also in Leviticus on the first fruit of the grain in chapter 23 of the book of Leviticus, and look at in verse 17. You shall bring from your dwellings two wave loaves of 2/10 of an ephah. They shall be of fine flour, and they shall be baked with leaven. They are the first fruit to the Lord. And that involves that to tell you that when God does the work, it's unleavened, because it's pure. But when we do the work, it's leaven, because we are mixed in our life with sin. Nevertheless, the Lord receives us because of his graciousness. So it's not permitted when it's talking about God doing the work. When you're going to have a picture of God doing the work, they have to be unleavened, because God does the work, and the work is pure. But when we present it to the Lord and present ourselves to the Lord, then leaven was presented to remind us that we are sinners until we get into his presence. Now we go to the New Testament, and we're going to see the picture of the figurative function of leaven and how the Bible explained leaven in the New Testament. And so we go to Matthew's chapter 13, where the parables of the Lord Jesus are expressed all after the other. And in Matthew's chapter 13, and in verse 33, we got in a statement in the parable of the leaven, and said, another parable he spoke to them, the kingdom of heaven is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal till it was all leaven. And so what that means in Matthew's, the kingdom of heaven, leaven is a picture of the kingdom of heaven. When you and I share the gospel, and first when the gospel comes into our heart, then we are saved. And then when you share that gospel. See, they said the kingdom of heaven is like leaven, which a woman took and hid. The gospel is hid. Nobody see your sign. God had not put you a sign here on the front head. I have the gospel. It's hid into your heart. And as you get saved, then you go home. And yesterday was beautiful. And all these men, some of them give testimony, and how the Lord, one man who was playing, very famous songwriter from Mexico came, and he was sharing how when he was 20 to 25, he was known by El Loco Bandido. That means the real bad guy who was crazy, and he's seen all over, and he showed pictures and how he has girlfriends and all of these and so on. And then the gospel came into a brother's heart. And a brother was praying for him, and he said, why don't you come and sing in our church? Well, I cannot sing this song. I said, why? He said, well, how can I sing this song? Get the girl, do this, the other. No, I cannot do that. He said, no, you come and sing. So I go to church, and they love the guitar. He said, let me go one time and just see. And then I see how the thing is, and see how many good-looking girls are, and I'll be there. And so he crying, he said, I went there. And the pastor preached, oh, sinner, come to God. he said. And then I was, he said, that's me. And so he went home, and so his brother shared with him the word of God. And no longer after that, 6 months after, he became a believer. He was married, he said. He had two children, and he cared less about the children. He has a wife that was very faithful. She knew that he was an unfaithful man, running with everybody. He was making great money in Los Angeles and go home to. He said they were so terrible, but she was so faithful. She had got the gospel from his brother, and she don't say anything to him. And then soon, when he got saved, he said, I need to throw the guitar. And his brother said, no, don't throw the guitar. Use the guitar for the name of God. And so he became one of the best singers in Spanish Mexico culture. And then he said, I went to my orchestra, and I told them I cannot play here anymore. He said, why? Because God got me. So, well, we take God out of you, they said. You know, they don't understand why he said, God got me. And he said, no, I explained them. And two members of the guitar came with me, and they were there playing. These are the people who were saved, he said, 5 years ago. And they said, well, explain to us what happened. See, the kingdom of heaven is like leaven, all right? It moves on. As in your heart, then you share it in your family, you share it with your associate, and very little, in that sense, it's good. It's moving on and increase. And that's what these verse 33 said. Another parable he spoke, the kingdom of heaven is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal till it was leavened, and then blah. And that's what it is. If you really save carefully, with tactfulness, and with love, and with patience, you share that gospel. I wish, I told him, he brought his wife to the event so that we can praise her for her behavior. As 1 Peter 3:1 said, if your husband did not behave properly, then you who are saved, with meekness and so on. And she was a meek woman who deserved the praise for this action. And it's so beautiful. But the kingdom of heaven always moves. And I looked at in our church, and I see in many ways this morning, I don't expect it. People will enjoy the sermon, but there were many who stopped me outside and said, Pastor, this is sermon was dedicated to me. The people were Assyrian. And they told me, we were looking for election like this for a long time. I'm glad that you are coming to the Assyrian church. We want you to be our pastor. I said, impossible. I cannot speak Assyrian. And they said, well, they live right here in town. And they said, they're Ramil's cousins. And they are here in church. And Ramil was smiling as they saw them. And they brought the little boy. He said, we stopped the boy to have the Lord's Supper today. Is that right or wrong? See, we don't know anything. Who can take the Lord's Supper? So I spent a little time over there, about 15 minutes, a compressed theology lesson into this. And I remember Leroy telling me many times, Pastor, explain those Greek words. Tell them. He loved that. Tell those words. People need to do that. And I refrain myself from preaching so much in Greek and Hebrew. But I tell you, people are hungry to know. Hungry to know, and we don't know. And there came here, and 3 or 4 came in. And your son's girl, the visit with him, she told me, so, oh, if I knew that, had to educate my child. I'm guilty, Pastor. She said in Spanish, Pastor, necesito de usted. I need you to teach me these things. I said, well, you say, if you come, she lives in Oakland. I said, if you go to a church in your area, I said, no, I need this. I need this teaching that goes into my blood. And boy, I was happy. And I looked to your son and I said, you hear that? Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I said, well, you're in trouble now. She gets saved, man. She's going to work on you. And it's just so beautiful to know that it's leaven. The real gospel comes to you and you cannot take it. It just blows on you. And then people see it. All right. Wayne, how do you get saved? Is somebody in your family was saved first?
Yes, my mom and dad were saved.
All right. And they taught you the gospel, all right?
Yes, they took me to church. I was very small. And I got to hear the gospel there.
Yeah, each one of us had the same story. Somebody, somewhere, it's just leaven moving on. All right. Now, let's go to Matthew 16. also could mean corrupt teaching, and it's very important. Matthew chapter 16 and verse 6. Then Jesus said to them, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. Matthew 16, verse 6. Take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees. Now, bad teaching can spread too, all right? And move on. And so you have to watch it out. Look at it in verse 12, same chapter, verse 12. Then they understood that he did not tell them to beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and Sadducees. You see, that was an explanation of verse 6. In other words, verse 12 explained verse 6. He said, when you listen to doctrine, be very careful, because the bad doctrine also grows like leaven and move on in this way. The church that I visit was a guest church for all these people. And I guess in churches today, people stand up and people with guitars and instruments play and everybody is clapping. And I've had the wrong idea to sit on the first pew, and the whole machine was right here in the front. And what I call those cornets that were around here. And the guy was in a little cabin playing the battery because it was so strong. And the whole thing blasted me. I wondered if I can preach later with my ears blown from it. And people were jumping. And I said, you stand up for 20 minutes. And they were jumping, and the screen, very sophisticated screen, they came with the thing and the songs and so on, and they repeated the song four or five times. I said to one guy, are you trying to learn the song by memory? He said, why? Because already we sing this. Why we have to sing it again? Oh, he said, we get it higher and the higher and so on. And then one guy behind me touched me and said, Pastor, what do you think? Is this biblical? I said, no, no, here, you're not speaking here, you know? And they wonder, is biblical to praise God? Yes, it is. It is biblical. Now, how you do it depends on, I don't know how in Africa do it, depends on your culture and so on. I had to define this in radio many times. One guy wanted to put the organ in the Spanish radio. I said, you fail. Who can have an organ in South America? I said, but if you put the accordion and the guitars and the violins, people have that and will relate to it. And the president of the radio came blowing. You know, he was very super conservative and said, how we do that? And we said, you want people to hear it or not? And you can play very well at him with the guitars and so on. So is not talking about that kind of thing. It's talking about corrupt teaching, and not teaching other thing that is not the gospel. That's very, very important. Now, in 1 Corinthians, it's a very interesting statement there. In 1 Corinthians in chapter 5 to 7. So 1 Corinthians chapter 5. And verses 5 to 7. Deliver such a one to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that his spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Your glorying is not good. Do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? Therefore, purge out the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, since you truly are unleavened, for indeed Christ our Passover was sacrificed for us. In other words, you know what I'm saying? It's saying you let a little sin come into the teaching of the Bible. You let a little sin come into the worship service. And what happened? You were under no control. And that's a very, very important part. And so you left some doctrines, and there were some people who left our church, I want you to know, because they were here to make this church a Pentecostal church. They were praying for me that one day, as I'm talking, I will be speaking in tongues. And I knew that, but I don't say anything until they I did some sermons very rough against that nature. And so I said, now the people will have to come up to me. Either they change their mind or they change themselves. They're in the wrong place. And they told me, well, said, we cannot be here because this church have not the Spirit. Now that got me excited. And I said, well, you can see the Spirit? He said, no. Well, then you cannot say we don't have the Spirit because you don't saw it. So how will you know we have the Spirit? They told me. You speak in tongues. Well, I speak Italian. I can speak Greek. I can really talk in Portuguese. So what's the problem? No, I mean tongues, things that you don't know. And you go, we want you to go crazy in the pulpit. See, you have to be cautious with the infectious doctrine that is not the doctrine of God. And comes in that way, very kindly, very gently, very soft and very tender. And they look the best of the best, but they have something in mind. And I have to be aware of that. And I asked them, I said, you know, there, if you want to do that, if you think that is right, I had three churches in town that do that. And I can recommend you to them. Oh, no, these pastors, they took money and run away. I said, don't tell me that. Then you come from those churches. Say, yes, well, go back to those churches and straighten them up. But don't try to change us, because we will not change, and what we do will be an offense to you. And one of those days, my scripture will lead into that area, and I'm going to speak the truth, and will offense you, unless you change your mind. I will not change mine. They said, we know this. So, see, sin is infectious. They come in slowly and nicely. You never know a sin. It's a well-dressed, and we put on, and you have to be extremely careful, all right? Okay, then Galatians is very drastic, and in chapter 5, verse 1-9, it speaks of leaven as a false doctrine. Galatians chapter 5, verse 1-9. Stand fast, Galatians 5, therefore in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Indeed, I, Paul, say to you that if you become circumcised, Christ will profit you nothing. In other words, you know what they want to do? They want to be circumcised in order to be Christian. That was the whole dialogue. And some of the Jews felt better in this way. And Peter even tolerated that. Verse 3, and I testify against to every man who becomes circumcised that he is a debtor to keep the whole law. In other words, if you're going to go that road, then, okay, you want to be circumcised? All right, then you have to keep the Ten Commandments and never miss one of them. And I testify, verse 3, against to every man who becomes circumcised that he is a debtor to keep the whole law. You have become estranged from Christ. You who attempt to be justified by law, you have fallen from grace. For we through the Spirit eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but faith working through love. Like this morning I was asked by one couple, well, what my son has to do in order to be baptized? What kind of work? What kind of things they had to do. See, people have been learned wrong doctrines and helped me to preach the word so the people awake and know the comparison. Verse 7, you ran well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? This persuasion does not come from him who calls you. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. You see it again? And they're right there in verse 9. A little leaven. In other words, you let a little wrong theology be in the church, and that wrong theology will run through the entire church and ruin the church. And that's how churches change. I have studied in history of churches from the year 1700 until now, and churches and movements came in and slowly came into the church, and slowly they tolerated that other doctrine, and very soon the whole panorama changing. That's why you have about seven branches of Presbyterian church, because there was the original, and then this one, and you now today don't know which one stands on the truth. And may God help us that no leaven will come in our teaching, in my teaching, in Greg's teaching, and praetor or whatever teacher, and the Sunday school teachers, that they, no leaven will be given. Once in a while, I hear Victor from my class, and he has a good material. Remember that book that you have, the spread with all the historical. So I listened, I stopped doing something, I listened to the class, and then I went to see, that's a very nice, wonderful book. They give you the story of the development. No, it's not a book, it's like a... Yeah, it is open up, and they give you, I don't know where you people bought it, but it's a remarkable, simple, synthetic, and right on the truth. And that's what we need to have. Don't buy anything. And people say, are you tolerating? Oh, I respect the person with different opinion, but I will tell them they're in error. We need to do that. So that's unkind. No, that's not unkind. That's healthy. If you're going to take a medicine and it's the wrong medicine, don't you want somebody, some doctor, some nurse telling you, hey, hold it, stop it. This is not right for you. And this is what it is. The church is a healing process, but leaven is a remarkable picture, as it were, that can be used as good as a spreading the gospel or lover, or can be used as spreading bad things. So we have to be careful in how we control ourselves and develop ourselves. But may God bless you, give you a strong week for the Lord. We see each other on Wednesday, God's willing, except those who work or are too far. But let's pray. Father, it is so true that if we tolerate a little sin in our life, very soon that sin becomes gross and we no longer know the truth. So we pray with extraordinary desire that no leaven be found in us, that rather the leaven of the gospel will be spread through us. In Jesus we pray, amen. God bless you.